Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
What's that smell?
Dookie.
The Oscar goes to Hulk Hogan. Yes. Some choices were made, and a lot of cocaine was consumed.
You only learn the way you are inside when life gives you the test. Will you back down, turn and run, or stand up with the best?
We are wrestling at the movies, and what a treat this is to not only be watching one of Terry Bollea's finest hours, he had a couple in his day, but doing so with the mind behind Movie Nights, Charmed, Hard, a whole bunch of other amazing YouTube series, all specialising in the beautiful art that is movie, and it is Alison Pregler. Alison, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to rewatch this masterpiece.
I was hoping when, you know what, it's one of those things where I thought I really want I want to watch No Holds Barred for our podcast, and I kind of thought I'd like an excuse to work with yourself, because I know you've done stuff with OSW Review recently for Baywatching. So
they're great.
They're good lads, aren't they? I know your partner is a big wrestling fan in Phaelus, but I don't know how much of it sort of drifts onto you, whether you just sort of nod and roll with it, or how much of it you truly are a wrestling fan.
Well, for the last year or so, I've been rewatching like 99 to 2000 Attitude Era wrestling with him. So like I've been watching a lot of it, and I'm invested in it. It's just my brain like doesn't absorb everything. So like I really love the soap opera parts of it. I'm really like, I like the matches. I just don't remember like what to call the moves and stuff like that. I like the cruiserweights a lot, because they do a lot of the high flying stuff. So I'm enjoying watching it with Phelan, especially because it's something that's so meaningful to him. So it's like, he's like, oh, this is when this happens, and wow, this was crap, or this was great, or we're coming up on this. And I'm like, yeah, I want to see what happens.
Is there a wrestler, you mentioned the cruiserweight division there, is there a particular wrestler that has stood out to you when you've been watching that you've gone, oh, I like them, they're my favorite?
I like the Hardy Boys. And I don't know if Jericho counts as cruiserweight in WWF, but I do like Jericho, and I like Mankind. I know he's not cruiserweight either, but but those are the ones that I kind of like.
Some of the big characters are what draws people in with wrestling, isn't it?
Yeah.
And none come bigger than Hulk Hogan, the immortal Hulk Hogan, who at the height of his power was just this movie megastar. What is your experience of Hulk Hogan at the movies, Alison, before we get into the film today?
Oh, man. I've seen all of Thunder in Paradise.
Yes.
And the movie forms of that. Just yesterday, I was watching a terrible movie called McKinsey Island, McKinsey's Island, that he was in. And I can safely say that is the worst Hulk Hogan movie for me.
Wow.
I've seen quite a bit of his filmography.
That's quite the title. That is the worst. You know, to tier list all the Hogan films, that's the worst. Yeah.
Have you had the pleasure of Mackenzie's Island?
Sadly, I have not. I've had the pleasure. I think for me, like, they're all bad in their own beautiful way. Like, you've got your Suburban Commandos, your Mr. Nannies, and things like this. But No Holds Barred is one that I've never actually seen the whole way through. Ooh. I've seen it in review form. Like via the lads at OSW and such like that.
The video is great.
Oh, it's great. But so I thought, I really want to watch it. And I thought, do I watch it before we chat? I went, no. I want it raw as it starts. And I'm going to drink it all in. So how this rolls, if you're listening at home, is that Alison and I are going to watch No Holds Barred, because that's a thing that we do. And you have the opportunity to watch along with us. It is available via Amazon Video. You may even have it on digital versatile disc. And we'll count you down, and you essentially watch No Holds Barred with us. We'll give you a second to get that ready right now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
On go on your device of choice, press play on No Holds Barred. We'll talk you through some of the visual points so you can keep up. And in 3, 2, 1, go. Now, is there a particular movie company that seems to keep popping up? Because a lot of stuff that you do, Alison, is based on the world of pretty bad films. And is there a particular movie company that just keeps coming up in these conversations?
I mean, The Asylum comes up a lot. Full Moon Studios. a lot of the ones that I talk about are like independent movies. And when you see like it's named after the director, like you kind of know this is like their vanity project kind of thing. So it's not always the same film company, but there's some staples.
With this one, I know that this is long before WWE films became a thing.
Right.
But they have become a bit of a machine of making pretty bad wrestling-themed or action-themed movies.
Man.
And I think this film, like Hulk Hogan, opened the door to it.
Yeah.
Look at this sweaty boy.
Oh, my God, what a monster. Oh, one thing about this film that sticks with me, it's a gross film. It's just, you can kind of smell it, is the thing.
That's what The Rock would have wanted.
Yeah. You know, the best thing that came out of WWE Studios to me, I've seen like a handful of varying quality stuff. This is pretty good, but I think my favorite is The Big Show Show on Netflix.
That is special. Okay. That is special. Like it's almost like they took a template of how do we do a sitcom from the 90s. Let's just follow that.
Oh yeah.
Note for note, beat for beat.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible. It's a whirlwind of emotion watching The Big Show Show.
I like the fact that someone made it. And oh, yeah. What I love is, as we're seeing Mean Gene Okerlund and Jesse the Body Ventura here. So essentially, this is Hulk Hogan with a color palette change. So he was told as Rip to play, that says it all, executive producers Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, man, it's good shit.
It's just good shit.
Now, if only Hulk Hogan was wearing a giant cowboy hat, then maybe this movie could have been improved.
Do you think all it needed was the cowboy hat and we're there?
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan was told just to play Hulk Hogan in this film. And as you can tell, it's a role he's born to play.
Just he's so good at it, though.
Oh, he's brilliant at it. You know, why mess with success?
I mean, I've seen... There was a movie he did called Assaults on Devil
Witch
Island. On Witch Mountain? Yeah, on Devil's Island. And, like, it was him and the Baywatch folks doing it again. But they tried to, like, make him look like a normal human being. Like, they gave him, like, a kind of brownish wig and the mustache was gone. And I was like, this is, like... This ain't gonna work, folks. And it didn't.
This is my favourite 90s movie trope, which is the grey-suited evil billionaires of Globe Corp.
If you're going to get, like, an evil grey-suited billionaire, Kurt Fuller is, like, the one to go for. Because he is so hammy in this movie. Oh, that's, Who Pellegrino? Ron Pellegrino? John?
Lou Ferrigno.
No, the guy, the blonde.
Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, his
I'm
name
totally
did pop
forgetting
up
his name. It's something Peregrino. Supernatural fans will know who he is.
Hang on, we're gonna IMDb it, Allison. Hang on.
Okay.
We're gonna IMDb it, otherwise it'll just live in our brain. Okay, starring. Keep an eye on the action for me whilst my eyes off the ball. Mark Pellegrino,
that's what it is. Yeah, he's a big name now. I think in this movie, isn't it, he just, like, gets hurt early on, and then it's like, oh, shucks, get him, Hulk.
He's kind of the Adrian-type role, but in a different way. He's a bit Adrian, like, because he's the one that kind of has the key to Hulk Hogan's heart, that is in a weird way. He seems to, at least, anyway. I'm very, do you know what upsets me is? I think with WWE, they're very careful with this. The way they shoot now. They're showing a lot of empty seats for a Rip match. Like, he's not the draw he thinks he is. Look at those empty seats.
You know, if they just pipe in some cheers, then it'll make it seem like people are more into it, though.
Oh, they'd love doing that now. That's been the joy for WWE of not competing, not being able to tour and have fans there. They just pipe the noises in. Now,
you know, like, seeing Hulk Hogan and Jesse Ventura both in this, I will say this. I think Hulk Hogan is a better actor than Jesse Ventura, having seen Abraxas.
Oh, Abraxas is a treat.
Oh, man. Abraxas is... Look, it's funny. It's tough, though. It's tough.
Who would you say, Allison, as an aficionado of such things, who is the greatest sort of... corrupt billionaire bad guy of 90s cinema, like, in terms of the character, is there at least a top three for you, like one of him, like, is there a top three for you?
Did Back to the Future 2, was that 90s? Because I'd say Biff Tannen, but if it's 80s,
so Biff when he was running, like, the world after he got the almanac.
I mean, technically, in the future, it was past the 90s, chronologically, for them.
That's
but I
true.
Think the movie was still 80s. Who's the 90s one? Who's the 90s-est?
I'm thinking, because I in terms of, like, it just seems like such a popular trope to have, I run a multi-million dollar company, and I'm going to buy everything. And this man wants to buy Rip. As
oh,
we'll
man.
Find
well,
out.
The ultimate's got to be Vince McMahon, then, though, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Gosh, yeah. You know, the world. This is important because it's the World Television Network. It's always in America.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like how England never wins the World Series. That's statue for a start. What else has he been in that's been. Like, he was in Wayne's World, wasn't he?
I think he was. He's been in so much stuff. He was also in Supernatural, Kurt Fuller. Yeah, he did an interview. There was an article where it's like talking about like the various roles he's done over the years, and he talked about this, how like it was like the hammiest he ever was. Like they told him just like just go like just go for it, and he did.
Like, just absolutely own it.
Yeah. Like, but he's one of the great over-actors, too. Like, and he knows it. Like, he knows he can just, like, completely, like, over the top.
They actually bring him in for a wrestling show at one point, which I really love.
Oh, did they? Like to tie in with this? Or?
To tie in with the film. They do, like, the movie, The Match, for Saturday night's main event. And they have him in a backstage segment going, I've come here to buy Hulk Hogan. It's like, well, weren't you trying to buy Rip? You've just, it's like a character's jumped through the screen and now you're in the real world.
Did they bring in Tiny Lister for it as well? Right?
Yes, they did.
Right.
They had Zeus wrestling on multiple occasions in bunny rabbit ears.
But he wasn't really a wrestler, right? That was the deal. Like, they're promoting it, but like, it's kind of obvious he's an actor first.
Yeah, yeah. He was actor first. Although, no, I tell a lie. What they did was they kind of treated it as Zeus has kind of jumped through the screen and now he's here to kill Hulk Hogan. they just sort of own that. They didn't, like, they go, they kind of reference he's from the film, but it's just more the case of Zeus is here and he's here to kill Hulk Hogan.
Wrestling now, is so good.
It's great.
Wrestling is so good.
It's, you know what? It's bloody good. Because when it knows that it's bollocks, wrestling's the absolute best. When it gets that it's bollocks. I thought he said bollocks then. So here we go. This, again, executive producer Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan. He's the biggest draw in television, and I need him on my network. It's the best. Listen, that's just beautiful. Beautiful cinematic magic, that is.
Smashing the glass.
I'm going to smash him, etc. What was the movie, Alison, that inspired you to start making movie nights?
Undefeatable with Cynthia Rothrock.
Ooh.
It was one of those early YouTube viral clips. Like, there was a clip going around just called, like, the worst fight scene ever or something like that. And it was just these two beefy dudes. Like, they're ripping their shirts off. They're licking their knives. They're just going for it. And then Cynthia Rothrock, martial arts legend, runs in there. And it all culminates in this guy getting meat hooked in the eye. And she goes, like, shoot, I'm totally forgetting the line. Like, see you around, Stingray, or something like that. I'm gonna feel so bad that I, like, messed up the line. But it was so good. I had to see this whole movie. And the whole thing is like that. And it really got me onto movies that are so bad it's good.
And it just, you went, I just need to talk, I need to tell multiple people about this film.
Have you seen it? Or do you know what I'm talking about?
I know of it. I've not seen it, unfortunately.
Okay. Oh, the line is, we'll keep an eye out for you, Stingray. Yeah, see ya. That's that's the line.
I prefer see you around, Stingray. That's a funner line. I do agree.
It's weird watching this stuff because the wrestling and the movies and the era of Hulk Hogan I'm more familiar with is 90s Hulk Hogan, when he had, like, steroided less. So he's, like, shrunk down.
It was like somebody put him in the wash, full. And he was just a bit... He was thinner in every sense.
He's a thick boy in this one.
I like it. He's just full.
Yeah.
I just like how much this plays up to Hulk's... I want to say ego. Ego. It's in the little things to me, Alison. It's the fact that as he's arriving in the building, everyone's going, oh, hey, Hulk. Oh, hey, Rip. Oh, hey, Rip. Like, everyone loves me here.
So this scene, I read a behind-the-scenes thing about this. So I believe it's this scene where Hogan, he stuffs the check in his mouth, like, to get back at him, like, for insulting him with this offer. And he did it for real. Like, he didn't realize, like, this is a movie. Like, you're not supposed to actually, like, hurt the actor. And so, like, he nearly chokes him. Like, and so Kurt Fuller's, like, dying over there.
Oh, bless
him. Apparently, he felt really bad about it. He's like, oh, sorry, brother. I didn't know.
Decent Hulk impression, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I've been honing it all these years.
but that's a wrestling thing where they go, you know what? You know, if you got to feel the pain like we do, pay your dues and all that stuff.
You're just doing it for real.
Yeah. So that was a shoot, brother.
Yeah.
Brent worked him. He worked himself into a shoot, brother.
It's so weird too when you're dealing with this era when they were introducing this into the wrestling ring, because this was still when kayfabe was like, you didn't break kayfabe, you just pretended this was all real. So it's like, this is the movie, but it's real, but it's like at the same everything at the same time.
They blur the lines beautifully. Hulk Hogan's do-rag is a conversation that comes up a lot in wrestling. Oh, hang on. I've just remembered this bit. Because he hasn't signed the deal. I presume they had two limos ready. One for if he signed the deal and one for if he didn't.
This is the evil limo.
Yes. Get him in the evil limo. Because imagine getting him in this one. No, he signed. What have you done? You've killed him.
There's so much attempted murder in this movie. More than I think would be acceptable in real life, I would think.
But it's all right, though, because Hulk Hogan is so strong, he can literally kick a car door off. Look at it.
I love how strong Hogan is in anything. There's a Thunder in Paradise where he's just, like, busting down doors, ripping pipes out of the wall, whatever. He's just the Incredible Hulk.
any chance he gets to look like the strongest boy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes. There's an overcompensation thing. I'm intrigued to know why they send like this poor old limo driver to do the deal. Like, he looks like he's gonna snap. Like, why would you not send somebody that's got a little bit more beef? The cat, he gets his foot stuck. Oh, now this again. I believe another iconic scene coming up.
Is this leading into the Dookie scene, or is that
it's
later?
It's leading into the Dookie scene, I do believe.
Is this the Dookie scene?
Yeah.
It always comes around to the Dookie scene. Before I'd ever seen this, I knew the Dookie scene.
Yeah! Who's that jumping out of the sky?
Yeah.
Hulk Mysterio, here we go. I love
this. This is absolutely incredible.
I mean, I won't lie, if Hogan wrestled like this, he'd have had another 30 years on his career. Oh, I think he'd have made another billion.
Are you saying that the finger poke of doom was not equally impressive?
I mean, it certainly turned the tide in the wrestling world, but probably not in the way that many hoped. I'd rather have seen him jump out of the roof of a limo. A limo that didn't have a skylight.
It's so good. Defying physics.
Hogan doesn't sell gravity. That's what we're learning from this.
This is just... I don't job to gravity, brother.
And they're all dead. Within a minute, not a single scratch on him.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is the Dookie guy. And is that the limo driver?
I believe the limo driver is the Dookie guy.
Oh, my God. What an iconic role. He never got anything better than that.
this was the peak and the trough of his career. Now, some decent moves here. Snake eyes. There you go. Big boot, snake eyes. Moves he's never done in a wrestling ring, Allison, that he's showing that he is capable of doing.
Maybe, you know, if you got, like, some movie magic to help you out, you could sell it a little better. Maybe
He kept it simple. Again, just refusing just to use conventional methods. Here we go. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Why?
He's trying to bite him. Hogan is acting his head off here. Absolutely
the
stunning.
The Oscar goes to Hulk Hogan. Yes. Some choices were made, and a lot of cocaine was consumed.
This is what happens when the canteen, where the catering department is just Coke. Just a table of Coke. Get amongst it, lads. So on the to go back to movie nights, because I do want to talk a bit more about movie nights as we go today.
Okay.
Talk about the movie that got us kicked off. Was there a moment early on that you still look back on and are really proud of, one that stands up that you think that's a favourite moment of mine in a video that I've made, something that really stands out to you?
What's a favourite moment in a video?
Yeah.
That's hard, because, like, anything, once it's made, I look back and, like, I don't want to look
don't
back
think
at that
about
anymore.
It.
Yeah, it's hard when it's your own work. I did my 100th video, if you call that early on. It's forever ago now. I've been doing this for 10 years. But my 100th video I did on Evil Dead 2, which is my favorite movie, and I did this whole big musical number at the end and had all my friends come in and do little bits. And I was really proud of that one. And I like how the video turned out, because it's a movie that's really special to me.
Do you feel like, as obviously you say 100 was many, many years ago, like,
yeah,
the what you do now, like the industry's changed so much, and obviously there's many more people doing it. Is there anything you've done to sort of adapt what you do as a YouTuber? Because I chatted to Phaelus about this for an episode of Desert Island Graps, and he's very much of the mindset of, well, I'm just staying the course. I'm just going to do the stuff that I like to do, and that makes me happy, and I'll do it until I don't want to do it anymore. Are you in a similar place, or have you adapted a bit of what you do?
I mean, my stuff has changed a lot, because that's what I wanted to do, which is what Phelan decided too. Both of us, like, started out, there was like a format for these video reviews. We started, he started before me, but basically we got our big breaks on thatguywiththeglasses.com, and a lot of that stuff was formatting it to what Doug Walker was doing. And eventually, just churning out a weekly video, summarizing a movie with jokes, you get kind of tired of doing the same format all the time, or staying with the same type of film. People would have their own niche of what kinds of films they were doing. And so eventually I changed my format in like 2015 to a more conversational thing. So sometimes I'll have guests on and we'll just talk about the movie at hand, or I'll talk about it myself in a more loose structure, not just a going beat by beat over what happens in the movie. And I found that was more fulfilling to me, to just to talk about it more casually and to do my own thing. So I think everyone finds their own voice. But as far as, like, you know, the algorithm and, like, what makes you stay on top on YouTube, it makes you go insane if you think about it that way. You have to do what you want to do, and hopefully people will follow along with you.
It's all about marching to the beat of your own drum and believing in yourself. Like Hulk Hogan, when he put that white suit on and went, I believe in myself tonight.
Suit.
It's a great white suit, but wow.
And it has to be a custom job, because you can't find a suit like in that size.
That has been extended.
Proportions. Yeah.
The wallflower in the center in the white suit would love to see the chef. It's just, I like the fact that, like, he is so too on brand all times. Like, Rip is always in white. Here he is in a gorgeous white suit that highlights his luscious long blonde hair. And we get the stroppy chef at a posh restaurant. It's another wonderful 90s trope.
He's got white, and he goes to, like, a powder blue color at some point. Yeah, that's also
yes, he does indeed.
Colors.
Yeah, again, yeah. it's just like a palette swap, like a glitched Hulk Hogan. A bootleg Hulk Hogan is what we have.
It's like when you're playing Mortal Kombat and you both pick Hulk Hogan. One of you's got to be the blue Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. Right, now here is we transition from lovely restaurant to squalid biker territory.
Again, everything's just kind of gross. You like look at the floor, like how gross that is. Just
that
covered in
peanuts. That smells of BO. That place smells like BO. You know for a fact that if a smoking ban ever came in, it would stink of Domestos. But right now, it smells of BO and smoke.
You got the butt crack. They made a choice. I feel like there are some choices, too. You can tell that was Vince McMahon's contribution to the script.
I want a butt crack.
Get in there. That's what? So funny.
That is a wrestler. I can point that out. That is Mad Dog Vachon.
That's an 80s era wrestler.
Indeed it is. Beefy boy. Big fan of his work. Had a fake leg.
Oh yeah?
Yes, he has a fake leg. Just a
fake
leg.
Did he go with it, or did he hide it, or?
It was later in his life that he had it changed. But I say changed, like he changed
he
deodorant.
He got the leg back afterwards.
I decided just to have one leg for a bit. It was used as a weapon in a match in 1996, but not by him. He was a spectator in the crowd. And,
oh, my God.
Kevin Nash pulled his leg off and used it. It was lovely.
So this was in WCW then?
WWF, 96. So it was just before he left.
Oh, 96, he was still
before
there.
Before he left. It was not long before he sold us to look at the adjective play. It was a good time.
There was it one of the... No, I'm thinking of someone else. There was another wrestler that had a fake leg, but like hit it. Like he had a fake foot.
There was Kerry Von Erich.
Right, the Von Erichs. Yeah.
Yeah. He lost his ankle in an accident in a vehicle accident, and
right.
He had a fake one underneath, which really hampered him later on in his career, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's. That was the other guy that did. I'm looking up the other wrestlers that were in this because there was.
You can tell it's a real wrestler because of the forehead.
Yeah, the
forehead. See the forehead. You know.
Worn and scabby. Behind those guys, then as the waiter was taking the order, there was a guy chewing tobacco, just looking like he was gonna punch you for looking at him. That was Stan the Lariat Hansen, who had a big career in Japan, and is credited as Neanderthal. There he is.
Nice.
There's Neanderthal. Stan the
oh
Lariat Hansen.
Oh, my God. Just the tobacco on the chin.
It's an incredibly strong look. It truly is. It,
with the crop top combined, it's just very good.
There was, yeah, so like a lot of other wrestlers in this. Sorry, go on.
I feel like that guy, the glasses guy, he also plays kind of this type a lot.
He seems to get chucked into this. Again, like just sort of never the main bad guy, never the main antagonist, but sort of like a lackey of mm-hmm. the antagonist. Like somebody
yeah.
a couple of rungs down. Never the main one. Never the main one.
What would you say? I'm sure you've seen some other Hulk Hogan films. What would you say is the best?
That there, pointing that out very quick. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I know he's only blinking, you miss it. The biggest star of this entire film outside of Hulk Hogan has just had his one bit and he's gone. In the cage was Peter Dinklage.
Nice!
Actual Peter Dinklage.
Oh my God!
Now,
you look back very fondly on this.
Oh, I think many say that it is the highlight of his career.
That's great.
There he is!
Dinklage himself!
The wild Dinklage, because a Lannister always pays his debts. So I apologize. I interrupted you, Alison. What was it you said? Sorry, I apologize.
Oh, it's fine.
So
what would you say in out of the ones that you've watched is the best and worst Hulk Hogan film?
Right, best Hulk Hogan film. Can I count? Can I count Gremlins 2 as a Hulk Hogan film?
Yes, you can.
I count Gremlins just simply because just before Christmas, me and the good lady watched it, and I genuinely forgot he was in it. So when they do that bit in the cinema. I was like,
nice.
Oh my God, there he is. And just again, playing Hulk Hogan, because that's what he does.
Amazing.
I will put Suburban Commando as my favorite, though. There's a deep charm, a deep crap charm about Suburban Commando. The fact that it
that's
contains...
That's where he's, what, an alien in that one?
He's an alien. He comes down as a crime fighter from space who's on his holidays on Earth.
And then he meets up with Christopher Lloyd, right?
That's he does indeed, who
okay.
is a hard on his luck guy working for a guy similar to this, like an eccentric millionaire Globe Corp type, who and he ends up helping him, and then we see Hulk get hunted by fellow aliens, one of which is Mark Calloway, aka the Undertaker. So we
nice.
Get Hogan Undertaker in a movie having a big fight through a car park. Great
stuff.
That's
one I've not seen, but you've just sold me on it. I need to see it.
You want to listen?
I've heard of it, but...
Christopher Lloyd delivers his epic line, I was frozen today in that film. It's the best. And best, so that's my top tier for Suburban Commando. The tiers aren't that high for Hogan film. bottom tier, I'd probably go Santa with Muscles, just because it's a... Just because it's I mean, this is close to epic Hogan Tosh, but I love the wrestling factor of it. Santa with muscles, I didn't quite get into as much as Suburban Commando.
Yeah, Santa with muscles got a lot of the little orphan kids. The fight with the doctor guy that kicked. It did have Ed Leslie as a samurai or a sumo or something very racist. I remember that.
It was Ed Leslie.
Look at this. Why is any of this necessary in this film? There's like a trough full of shit.
Again, it's a film you can smell. That poor dog.
Yeah. I just want to pat him.
I feel funny seeing dogs in films, Alison, because I always remember they think this is all real.
I think it's funny when it's supposed to be a mean dog, but you can see their tail wagging. They're clearly having a great time, and they're like, oh, no.
Is that why? I heard a rumor, and you, as an aficionado, I'm sure you can shed some light on this. They try not to film the dog's tails because it gives away they're having a lovely time if they're a menacing dog. So whenever you see angry dogs, they'll avoid if they can, as two guys just take a piss. they'll avoid showing how happy the dogs are to be there.
I've never heard that. I always look for the tail when I'm watching a dog. But maybe that's why they had a dog with the little stubby tail here, so you couldn't tell as much.
Here's the thing. None of this really is consequential to the movie. None of this
Pencil Neck Geek, Lewis and Clark. I'm just looking at the graffiti, actually. Mom.
Little Superman reference, Lewis and Clark, yeah. Nearly.
Though Lewis and Clark could be the explorers, yeah? Because Lois and Clark could be.
Of course. Silly me. That'd be okay.
Unless you're talking maybe the movie Almost Heroes. That would be the explorers.
I sadly wasn't. Stan Hansen just grabbing his pecker and leaving.
Zombies live.
Thanks, Stan. Here's your 50 quid. Thanks for doing the film, mate. You absolute radio rental. He was bonkers with Stan Hansen. Just quite often, just aggressive and awful to be around. But just, you know, but in the spirit of the era, just always smoking, chewing tobacco, beating up young people. You know, it was pally. It was what we did on the day. It's how we rolled back in the day.
Do you have a favorite era for wrestling then?
For me, I would probably say. I think the Attitude Era that we talked about, I think that to me was when I kind of came back into it as a wrestling fan. I think the Golden Era, maybe, which is like the Hogan Era. There's still something special about that because that was when I discovered all of this nonsense. It sounds really soft, right? It's a rubbish answer. But I always say to people, you know what? The era that we're in now is brilliant because for a new fan, there is more wrestling every week, more new wrestling every week than you could ever hope to consume. And even if you don't like what's happening now, because of the power of the internet, you have access to pretty much every wrestling match that's ever happened anywhere whenever you want to watch it. Like, this is such a cool time to be a fan. Because even if you're not bothered by what's happening now, you can just watch everything whenever you want to. It's great.
And considering, like, back then, there wasn't, like, a lot. There was, like, occasional releases of stuff or pay-per-views. But it's not like you could just go back and watch old episodes of Raw or, you know, all of the weekly episodes. So, like, you'd have to have them on tape and then circulate them around this way. But now you can just go on the Peacock Network, or it used to be the WWE Network, and you could just watch everything that you wanted to watch, and it's there.
It's just all there waiting for you. And there's Hulk Hogan, not quite in makeup yet. Early days of it. Oh, he's still in it. He's still hanging in it. I thought he'd done by now, Stan Hansen. So they're filming. So this bit. So I talked over the press conference a bit. So, they are looking for WTN. So this is.
I love that they made their teeth rotten. By the way,
they wouldn't have to do much.
That lady, they just put like makeup on her teeth, so she has rotten teeth.
So this is WTN. They can't get Rip to join their network. So therefore, they're building a wrestling promotion without Rip to spite him. And they're going to find their Rip, their personal champion. It's such a spurious reason to set this up. And it's just the fact that this is a WTN is a well-to-do television company.
Yeah. Yeah. They're having like press conferences and everything.
Yeah. But we've just decided we could easily rent out, you know, the Knickerbocker. We could rent out the Sky Dome and do a nice rest. No, we're going to go to this bar that blatantly stinks a piss and just have drunks fight. This is Bum Fights with a Budget, basically, is what they've put on a respectable network. It's hilarious.
Can I just say, so I've been rewatching or watching for the first time a lot of Attitude Era stuff, and some stuff I know, some I don't, because I've watched a lot of OSW videos. Like, I know stuff about the history of wrestling, so I know some of this stuff. Some of my favorites are when they're doing like hardcore matches and then they just like go into like throwing food at each other, or they're like running around backstage or doing just a bunch of ridiculous stuff. And I did quite enjoy, there was a match leading up to the whole Butterbean thing with Bart Gunn and Hardcore Holly, where they just keep pulling out like groceries and stuff from like under the ring, as if like someone was just like, they just put their groceries there and they're like, oh no, they found the bananas, the flour, no, ah, everything's ruined. And it was just very good, and I feel like Bart Gunn really like, They screwed him over so much because, like, that was so good. They could have used him for so much more.
He could have been a lot more than he was. Like, Bart Gunn, underrated in the hardcore division for reasons like that. Yeah. And you talk of underrated. Look at this lad here. Tiny Lister.
Tiny
Zeus
Lister.
Has confirmed for Brawl.
Why did they do the eyebrow this way? Why did they decide on this?
It's a nice little caterpillar. He looks like Helga from Hey Arnold.
It's, yeah. It's like that. It looks like it's sharpied on, though. It doesn't look real. That's what's so weird about it.
I just, it's the eyes. I'm so sorry, but it's difficult to take like him seriously as a monster.
Oh.
Love him. God love him. He made more money than I ever wished to. God love him. I'm no one to talk. But this is the guy that is going to stand up to Hulk Hogan, and he's about to just clatter these no-name marks in the ring.
You just know when Vince McMahon saw him, he's just like, yeah, he's
that's
big
a lot of beef.
He's so big.
I
like
him.
He could be in the WBF.
Yeah. WBF reference. I'm a fan. I like it. But Vince,
I love seeing the obsessed old ads for that too. Like,
oh my god!
You got like muscle dudes with guitars and flames around them, and like, yes.
Vince's favorite was Gary Striden, and there was one bit where he's doing his muscle pose down, and he's got like a top hat and a cane, and it's Vince. They're going, talk about a night on the town. It's weird. Stop being weird.
I love seeing clips of him doing commentary because he'd be like, he was just orgasmic over the whole thing.
Wow.
Yes.
You always knew because, and it makes sense because Vince is always the company guy, as Hogan with his mates around having some crisps. You always knew where Vince's loyalties lay, where he wanted to own the company, because you listen to him on commentary and he'd just be very over the top for certain people. And you go, that's the guy you want us to cheer, isn't it? Well, we won't.
There was this old clip I saw of Vince McMahon. I'm not sure if he owned the company by that point, but it was on an old episode of David Letterman. They were doing a bit called like the late night baby, where they were just like on New Year's, like going to the hospital to like names, like to talk to people who were giving birth to be like, can we name one the late night baby? And Vince McMahon, for whatever reason, was like hosting this, so he's like at the hospital like interviewing like fathers to be about like the late night baby, and can we make them the late night baby? Like, nobody knows who the fuck he is, and they're like, what? It's very good.
Vince is very well known for having sort of half an idea and just starting before we actually know what the end result is. He was always very good at that.
I think that was his idea. I think maybe they were on the same network or something, and like David Letterman's people approached him, but like it's very weird seeing it because he's so young, and like everyone's like, what? Excuse me.
His name is Zeus, by the way. He whispered it very delicately. Look at that face. That's a and Hogan knows his destiny. his
close-ups, love of destiny. Some very rough faces.
Top story in the paper
Thriller
next day.
Or killer in
Bugger
the sports
off.
Newspaper. It's sports paper.
Hey, what's have you picked sports up sports today?
Why would a newspaper just be called sports? Maybe this is, they all pulled it out of a section, a sports section in there.
No, I like to think that this movie is so up its own backside that they've gone, would you believe it? Wrestling was the top story in the world yesterday, and our ratings are number today. One.
Does he have a bust of himself in this yep. room? Did he just go past a bust of himself? It's so good.
It's a great trope.
He was good in Ghostbusters 2 as well. He was in that. Kurt Fuller.
Playing a similar guy, like that kind of...
Yeah, he always plays this kind of guy.
Do you think he always wished to play an action hero and he never got a chance to?
I don't know. He got a late start in acting. He was like in his 30s, which is really late to get known. And it was an episode of Knight Rider. Was his first roles where he plays a cameraman and he goes like the car talks. And yeah,
he delivered that line so well. It's like, we need him forever.
Oh yeah, he's got a real great success story. Like, if you're gonna make it and like if you can get good work just being that guy forever, like, take it. It's a steady paycheck.
Yeah, that's it. You just,
and he's always busy.
Do what you do, do what you do, and do it well.
Yeah,
I'm down for it. So here we have...
The chainmail tank top, that can't be protecting you in any way.
Yeah, it looks like, if anything, it's going to chafe.
Who's just shooting these flames in the air?
There's some guy around the back with a pyro button.
Oh, I thought it was a barbell. What is that?
It's a like big wrench.
A big wrench?
It's a big old wrench, I think. Or is it a chunk of pipe?
Is it like a mace?
Maybe it's a regular size wrench and they're actually really small. That's the M. Night Shyamalan twist. Is that everybody's pocket size? This guy's called Tiny Lister!
That's the handicap match. They put him in a shrinking machine and then they have to... And Peter Dinklage comes in and is just like, all right.
I got this, lads. It's on me now. Why is he filming a film? Never mind. That'll be what it'll be. So, you mentioned stuff with that guy with the glasses. We're not going to talk about that. It's fine. But was it there where you met Phaelus, or did you guys meet before?
No, we met through that.
We
knew who each other was. Though it's kind of funny. I was familiar with stuff that he'd done before I knew him, like in middle school. Like, I'd seen, like, he used to do voices in, like, this cartoon called Eskimo Bob. It was a Flash cartoon that his friends made, and he would do the fish in the spaceship voice. I used to watch that with my friends in middle school. I would see his, like, Dragon Ball Z parody stuff. Like, just randomly, I would see these before I actually knew who he was. And, we used to do, like, streams of movies and shows and stuff, and he would show up on them, and we started talking through that, and... Now we're engaged.
Oh, now I have to ask, what was the... Can you remember the first time you guys spoke?
I don't remember if it was a MAGFest or if it was at one of the anniversary movies that we did for That Guy with the Glasses. It might have been MAGFest. I think he was just hanging with his friends and we said hi and... I think I thought he didn't like me.
Oh, like, right.
Because I made some joke, and he's just kind of... He's really dry and kind of deadpan, and so, like, I think, like, he made some joke about it. And we didn't know each other, and he's kind of shy, so I think I thought that. But, we talked on streams, but we also hung out during the anniversary movie, the third one that we were both in, and that was before we were dating. But we did hang out quite a bit and shoot some stuff together, because, like... Yeah, we still got along then before we were dating. I guess you get along before you're dating.
It helps,
presumably.
Too. That's kind of how you get. That's kind of how you get there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know, to stay on the Love Channel for just a brief moment longer. Is there a moment where you kind of went, actually, I like you and I really like you? Was there a little I like you more than I like you kind of moment?
I mean, I don't know if it was a specific moment. It was just like we just kind of got each other, and we got a lot of the same jokes and liked a lot of the same things. And yeah, he kind of asked me, like, because I'd just broken up with someone, and I think like I'd said like I wasn't really looking to date anyone right away. And at one point, like, he asked me, he's like, you know, maybe like when you're ready, like, would you consider going out with me? And I was like, yeah. And then, like, he was like, all right, we're together now, but then I didn't think we were together yet, and so we were kind of confused about, like, when the actual start of our dating was. But it was so cute, like, because he was so excited about it, you know? Like, he's like, oh, this is, like, the happiest day of my life, and this is great, and, yeah,
oh, what
he's
a
just
guy.
So sweet.
He's ace. He's, we had a great chat for Desert Island Graps, which will be on the channel next month, which I'm very excited to share with people. And almost as excited... as Hulk Hogan is. Yeah, always excited as Hulk Hogan is to fight these baddies with pancakes.
Why is there just whole, like, cut watermelon just sitting on the diner table or counter?
In the event of a robbery. It's there, Allison, in case they get robbed. And it's either that or an expensive burglar alarm.
Yeah, that's just a classic.
Which
if you're
was
gonna
the
have,
first
like, a
film?
Food fight, you slide them across the counter like that.
Oh, it's an easy one. I want to know which was the first film to do the throw you across the diner bit. It had to be like a film in the 20s, surely.
You know, I have nothing to back this up. I feel like it was a Western.
Mm.
You always see it in Westerns, right? Like, yeah. Where they're like sliding them across the shot glasses.
And they're going ding 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 ding
ding ding ding.
Do your pose, mate. He does his little shocker pose. Well done, lad.
And now he's something about his big meaty arms around her. Just like, I will comfort you.
Comfort mode activated.
Rest into my chest. It's okay now.
Cling tenaciously to my buttocks, brother.
Applause.
Isn't Hulk Hogan great? Rip. Isn't Rip great, everybody?
I like her earrings, too.
Oh, and this is the moment where she goes, maybe I'm in love with him as well.
Oh, my God. I feel like
executive
this lady
producer
was such,
Hulk Hogan.
She was such a trooper for doing this, especially these, like, these hotel scenes.
Oh, this bit.
Yeah.
Oh.
God, this is...
There is a sensational bit coming up.
Man.
Fight with your emotions. I just can't help. I'm in love with Hulk. I mean, Rip. The script says I'm in love with Hulk Hogan. Is that right?
Oh, just change it to Rip, brother.
Shorts.
State of him. That is a man that forgot to pack his pajamas, so he's just throwing on his t-shirt and his pants.
Wrestling fashion is very good, too. You know, I love when the wrestlers come out in their casual outfits and it'll be like a weird dicky thing, or like they're like, I'm going to do the tank top but with the Speedo so it looks like I just forgot pants today.
We're sadly long gone from the Zubaz era, but I miss the Zubaz era of wrestling.
There was one match, I couldn't tell you which episode of Raw this was, but Road Dogg comes out. And I think he just forgot to put shoes on. Like, he just real quick had to cut. Like, he's like, oh shit, I'm supposed to be out there. So he runs out to do some interference or something, and he's wearing like sweats and then just like socks, but no shoes. So he's running out like wrestling people in his like white socks.
That sounds about right, to be fair. Now they're plucking
you know
up
what?
The courage.
I really like Road Dogg. Not necessarily for his wrestling, though he is good, but I just think he just seems like a nice guy to me. He just seems like he's like a bro.
He's always he's very liked back. Now that looks like he's wearing women's underwear. That looked like he was wearing women's underwear. That looked like he had an Ann Summers model going on. Oh God. Well,
da, 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 da.
Well, I don't know about you, Allison, but I feel pregnant now. I feel pregante now. Looking at Hulk Hogan, looking at me. I feel pregante.
Oh my God, her underwear is really bad too, though. That 80s underwear.
That looks like it would fit Hogan.
It's about the size of his shorts. He looks like a monster. It looks like they're doing having a forced perspective and he's a giant.
This has gone very art house. Pull this back, brother. Could you not one of you sleep on the floor? Could you not ring room service and say, could you send a Zed bed up? Because you could do that. You've made work for yourself by having to do it this way.
It looks like the itchy blanket, too.
Oh, that looks like a really uncomfortable... looks like an uncomfortable bed, to be honest.
It's a really ugly-looking hotel room in general.
I bet it's haunted as well.
This is like the leftover 70s stink of the 80s, where they got lots of, like, beige and wood paneling that, like... not very appealing to the eye.
When flavor of the month was asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then if only they could see eye to... oh, God! Oh, God!
Oh, this is good shit. This is good shit, Hulk.
Brother.
Terry.
Oh, God! Oh, no! Don't look. Just leave! Leave the film!
It you doesn't, don't want to know what's behind look. That sheet. You don't want to know.
It's even worse.
What is going... what?
It's...
no. Why would you do that?
It's worse.
Why is he wearing little panties, though? Why is he wearing little panties?
Because he's a little tease, isn't he?
It's like, I gotta get my sexiest outfit for the scene.
I'd like
a close-up of the feet to imply it's his ass.
I think so, or to imply that he was balancing two eggs on the end of the bed, maybe making breakfast. I kind of hope that we get this bit and it'd be daybreak and he'd still be going.
Why?
Oh, he's still going. He's worked out all night.
He never stops. All right.
Christ. Put it away, Hulk.
The string bikini. It's quite a choice in the salmon color.
Oh no, brother. What are the odds?
Incredible.
What are the odds of that happening?
I mean, do you think this was Vince or Terry Bollea's choice?
Oh, I wonder who wrote, "Then Hulk Hogan lies naked in the bed with the woman after doing his brilliant workout." I wonder who wrote that line. Terry. This bit, Terry, we've taken this scene out three times. You keep putting it back in. I think it's just crucial to the plot, brother.
He's like Tommy Wiseau in the room. Like, I have to show everything.
I did not hit her, brother. I did not.
I did not.
Hi, Marks.
Hi, Marks. That's good.
So I want now Hogan to walk in his thong. It's like, I'm just, brother, I'm trying to find another room in this hotel. Turns out we're in the same building.
That's any given day at a MAGFest. You just see Hulk Hogan walking around with a thong. I'm like, happens.
You've been to many MAG. You've been to a few MAGFests now, haven't you?
Well, I used to go every year. I don't anymore because it got kind of just booked up immediately, but... oh, jeez.
Unpleasant man.
Mm.
Yeah, so there's...
you owe me!
you got to sleep with Hulk Hogan!
The both hands on the wall and the zoom-in for no reason.
It was the zoom-in reserved for the ghost has just entered the room. POV. Oh, this is where save me, Hulk, you massive armed legend. Terry, did you put that in?
I have a little artfully placed bruise.
If only your strong arms were there. And you're really good at singing. What has that got to do with this? I didn't write that.
Because we lost another Hulkamaniac today.
I must show you this. I bought this today for a podcast that we do where we watch old episodes of Monday Night Raw. During the podcast, I saw it on eBay, and it's a cassette of the WWF superstar singing Slam Jam. It was just in front of me there as we were singing, and it's incredible because it's Stock Aitken and Waterman, who gave us some of the best British music of the decade, and executive producer Simon Cowell. So Cowell's on board with that.
Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell is behind the wrestling music.
Was that the one they did like some crazy music videos for it too, didn't they, with all the wrestlers?
Yes, where they were all on a building site being men. And a woman walked past and they're like, oh, for God's sake.
Can we not, though?
Oh, sorry.
Wait, is he?
Oh, hang on. This is it. I hate the way I was treated. They're together now. That's a thing now.
When a woman says no, she really means yes.
brother.
It's good to do this right after she was assaulted by a man.
I feel like she's at her most vulnerable here, brother.
Oh, the '80s.
We're back with Sally Jesse Raphael. This man claims to be the father.
I love the little frame picture of Mark Pellegrino also. It's very good. Is that WBF stuff behind Tiny Lister? Or there's bodybuilding pictures, definitely.
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Vince had just said, hey, I'm doing this bodybuilding thing. Can we get some plugs in there for it?
See, the era that I'm watching of wrestling, it's past the WBF era, but going into the XFL era, which I'm excited about.
Oh, you are about to see some... what we learn from the XFL is basically, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Because Vince can only do wrestling, and he hates that. Like, he is so sad that he only can do wrestling well. Everything else he's tried that isn't wrestling has fallen. And no matter how hard he tries, he wants to be like this entertainment magnate, when really he will always be the wrestling guy, and it just eats him alive. Eats him
what
alive.
I'm sorry, what is Hogan doing with all the children? I wasn't paying attention. Why,
he's teaching
why is he
them
just
to
holding...
sing. But then, you know,
and then, like, Mark Pellegrino's a clown next to him.
We know they lost another Hulkamaniac. They now need to find one to replace him. It's one in, one out. You have to have an exact number.
All right, for the kids. That was one of my favorite parts of the Baywatch Bash at the Beach crossover with WCW, where they had Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Ric Flair, Big Van Vader. Who was the other one? Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan.
Taskmaster, yeah.
Yeah, Taskmaster. Kevin the Taskmaster Sullivan. When they, at the end, when Hulk Hogan wins, like, he's like, we did it for the kids at the rec center! Yeah, for the children! We won!
It's always for the kids.
Right. Yeah.
I want one of those kids
I'll
just to
I'll protect you kids from Zeus.
With my extra long,
my
rip them.
Don't get closer. My sweat coming through my shirt.
I would not let my kids near a guy with a t-shirt that said rip them.
Rip them.
No. It's a no from me. It's a no from me.
It's a no from me, dog.
With that Baywatch episode, there is the conversation that there was heat between Hulk and Hoff. And
that's just me speculating. But since then, see, I was speculating because there's never any scenes between the two of them. It kind of seems like Hasselhoff was ashamed of that plot and maybe their egos could not be contained. But I did read an interview with Hasselhoff later, and this is within the last few years, where he was talking about a movie they were going to do together. But then the whole racism thing happened, so Hulk Hogan was removed from the film that they were in. And Hasselhoff was talking about it, and he was saying that they were, like, great buddies. They've been friends for years. He was sad about the whole situation, so... I don't know. I don't know if maybe later they became friends or...
Maybe. Well, Hogan has a lot of fair-weathered friends that kind of come
That's
and go.
Yeah.
Taskmaster has a podcast because everyone does. And it was back in February. He talked about this. And he talked about the episode of Baywatch they did. And he says, according to Sullivan, Baywatch star David Hasselhoff had an issue with Hulk Hogan when Hulk starred on the series. Hogan appeared in the episode Bash at the Beach, which we know. Kevin Sullivan says, the people on Baywatch were super. They were very nice. The only thing I think there was some animosity between Hasselhoff and Hogan. Hasselhoff was not in that episode, if you recall. He didn't even come round to see Hulk. I think he was jealous of Hulk. Pamela was wonderful to everybody. She came out and talked to everybody. She was really great. All the production people were great. It was a great time. I really enjoyed it. But no Hoff.
I can't believe my speculation was 100% what happened.
You were on the money, Allison.
Oh, my God.
Hoff felt his power diminished by the arrival of Hulk.
Yeah, Hasselhoff had he had some ego as well. He did have some jealousy issues, especially concerning Pamela Anderson and some of the more well-endowed women. But also, I think he just wanted the show to be taken more seriously. He wanted it to be this wholesome family show, and I guess he didn't want this big wrestling thing.
What we've just seen here is she was about to get assaulted. It was Hulk's girlfriend.
Oh,
thank
good.
God the American badass assault. Was there. Lol, you fell over my bike, brother.
Rip him.
It was like she was getting assaulted, and he burst into existence. Like she summoned him.
Oh, the ass shot, the POV with the ass between the legs. Very good. Oh, he's riding on the front of the bike.
Hogan's having a lovely time beating up this nasty
piece of work. Hey, good for that stunt guy.
He did a lovely job. And again, Hogan, you know what? He's kept his colour scheme throughout. I can't fault him for commitment to the colour scheme. Mm-hmm. Like nice pastely blue, some white in there, and some flunkies chasing him in a car.
You know another story about that Baywatch thing. So originally they asked the WWF about this crossover. Baywatch was the one that approached them.
Mm.
But they told them that they would do it. This is classic for exposure. Like we can't pay you, but it'll do like some good like promotion for you. And WWF was like, no. And then WCW was like, hell yeah, we'll do it for free.
We're in there. Sign us up. Hulk, get over there.
Another one of their great financial decisions.
Right. Hulk, I mean, to be honest with you, Hulk Hogan at that point, if they said, do you want to be in Baywatch? He'd have been on the set by the time they'd said Bay. Like,
oh, yeah. Hulk Hogan and Baywatch, they're like this. Thunder in Paradise was from the Baywatch producers, so it was a Baywatch with Hulk Hogan, which they attempted to repeat with that Shadow Warriors 1 and 2 film.
They tried to recreate a bit of that. Magic.
A bit of that Thunder in Paradise magic, but
is there with the series Baywatch? You're with Baywatching. Is there anything that obviously the Hoff Hulk heat being one of them? Is there anything you've learned about Baywatch that has surprised you in the process of doing the series?
See. I always forget, like, everything leaves my mind. I mean, there's been a lot of interesting stuff that I found out. Like, I know a couple of the actors found a body washed up on the beach one time.
What?
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Jeez.
All of them are bad stories. You know, okay, so this is a bit of a spoiler for people who watch Baywatching, but there's a character called Stephanie Holden. She's a main character that's throughout the whole show. And eventually her character dies. And when her character died, it was because the actress just begged to be killed off. She's like, please, please just kill me off. Please.
She didn't want to do it anymore.
She didn't want to do it anymore. And the thing was, she was like a more kind of sporty, masculine character, I guess. She had like very small boobs and short brown hair. And there were some people behind the scenes that were kind of like, pushing for her to get boob job and stuff like that, being kind of shitty. So she's like, all right, just kill me off, please. And then when they killed her off, she sat in on the scene for her own funeral, dressed in a blonde wig, being that exact, like, big boob blonde character they wanted her to be.
It's the only chance you get to be at your own funeral, I guess.
Right? Yeah.
I'd take it. I'd be in the background. Although I'd be more inclined to be more blatantly myself with like a fake mustache and some glasses on, just to add a little bit of intrigue, just to be like, did he really die, is he really there? just to mix things up a little bit. So a key bit there, Randy's in bother. Hulk Rip's brother, little boy Randy, Mark San Pellegrino, sparkling water, he's got him and there's trouble.
Oh man, and they're in the spark factory. There's always sparks going on in these places.
Sparks fly in between Randy and Zeus. Guess who this is? It's Mark Pellegrino. Yes. There is something, and I can't help the conspiracy theory. I can't help in believe this. So, like, there was a lot of beef over the years between Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage. Like, they constantly bickered. Like, when they were making money, they were best friends. When they weren't, they hated each other. I can't help but feel that naming Rip's little bitch brother Randy.
Oh!
I can't help but feel that's very deliberate.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about that.
It's a very Vince and Hogan thing to do.
Yeah.
They're not above being dickheads like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And just to say,
I think there's something to that.
Randy got beaten up by Zeus.
See, if you're taking out some Slim Jims, this is pre-Slim Jim, though.
It is pre that lucrative Slim Jim deal. And he's now dead. He's not, but he's not well. Looks like his head's
I was watching... Oh, my God. Some acting is going to happen.
Big acting. Look at this sweaty acting. That's like a comedy expel of dust. When they shake like a bottle that's empty.
They were both trying... And then he's like, no one out-acts me.
Why wasn't I in this scene, brother? Oh, no. They did a scene without
Randy.
Me, dude.
Randy, no.
My brother, Randy. If this isn't...
Everybody betray me. I'm fed up with this world.
Alison, how amazing would it be if this goes into Flashdance, or he starts dancing in the burnt out car park. Busting. Was it Flashdance I'm thinking of, or is it Dirty Dancing, where
he
gets really cross and it's the scene he gets really cross and starts dancing aggressively.
I don't know. I haven't seen either one of those. I'm a terrible 80s movie fan.
Well, I think it's... I'm getting that vibe.
I've seen this
him.
Movie twice, but I haven't seen Flashdance or Dirty Dancing.
It's the right order.
Oh, my
if
God!
If I stand still, he won't see me! He's not there! He's just lost his mind. Oh, it was the old trick!
Oh, my God.
Do you not hate that, Alison, when you walk into a room thinking your friend's there and you're like, hey, how you doing? How's your day been? Great to see you. Turns out it's just a projection on the wall. Hate when that happens.
Isn't that just the way?
It's just, I spent 3 hours talking to my mate the other night and it turned out he'd put a projector in and it wasn't even him. I thought he was chattier than normal.
What are they doing this for?
This like, is just
like,
pervert
eventually
cam.
He'll be on our show.
I don't even, like, originally the whole idea was they wanted to win Rip over, and then they've gone, we're going to get somebody that can beat Rip up.
And I guess they're like, we will humiliate him and ruin his career because he has insulted us.
And now they're saying, right, okay, we've got our champion, he's better than you, come beat him, dickhead. And Rip's gone, no, I don't want to fight, I don't want to be on your network, it's crap. And so they've gone, all right, we've beat up your brother. Now what are you going to do? And any businessman should still go, I'm going to sue you for damages, and I'm still not going to fight on your network.
This is based on a true story.
Bullseye.
Oh, my God.
You can see the guy pull it back. You can kind of see like the slope. Someone's pulling back that pole. That was gorgeous. Gorgeous. I loved it. What is a film, Alison, that you watched? And there's Randy, by the way. Just we've lost another Hulkamaniac. We need another Hulkamaniac. We've got to replace two now.
It's the dramatic acting that really brings you back.
I'll avenge you, brother. he's acting so hard. Such good acting. Gotta avenge him.
Into brother. The fist.
Can't stop thinking about the little brothers.
I'm gonna cry if I look at you too much.
Just look at.
Just.
Quick!
Fell asleep during the scene.
And that wasn't Hogan going, look at Randy. That was Hogan going, what? Okay, sorry, brother.
Oh, he is crying. They've added some tears.
Sprinkle the water on
Hogan.
In between cuts,
they splash some water in his eyes. He cried.
They have an onion cutter on the scene who just stands there and makes a lovely spaghetti.
There's a tear falling down his face. Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, the tinsel. That really brings up the quality of the program.
I mean, this is what a lot of wrestling looks like during the lockdown era. I'll be honest. In terms of like the crowd numbers, the general sadness.
They even have a bunch of screens up there. It
just seems quite sad. And I think there's some...
Oh my god, punching cinder blocks.
And now we get the... And now this, right?
Oh my god, I forgot about the rehab.
So what we have here, again, is just how bloody brilliant Hulk Hogan is, right? Because Zeus is training for the fight of his life. Hogan can't train. He has to be by Randy's side all the time.
Uh-huh. Maybe if he was, like, lifting Randy in the air to help him with rehab and also to work out, he could have hit two birds with one stone.
Using Randy as a workout tool, like he's Daniel Radcliffe in Swiss Army Man.
Yeah. Oh, there's the tiger stripe pants.
He's playing on an Atari.
I don't know if those were Zubas. I think they were tights, but...
They're
Hogan's not really a Zubas guy. He's got to show off the muscles, the shape.
Yeah, he's kind of like the sister of Zubas. At least one snake was harmed in the making of those trousers. So Hogan has agreed to the fight at this point. I think he has anyway. He's like, all right, I'll come on your stupid network and I'll have your stupid fight.
None of this holds up under any
legal
terms.
I mean, it's very in keeping with wrestling. Like, the whole idea of, like, this man has done your family harm and threatened to kill you, and you've actually thrown a school bus full of children off a plane. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to get him in the ring and hold him down for 3 seconds. That will solve everything. Wrestling. Thanks for subscribing to Cultaholic, where we talk about wrestling and take it very seriously.
I do want to recommend a wrestling film.
Oh, please do.
I wish... Okay, so you're going to have to look at Gangrel's IMDb for this, because I'm totally spacing on it. It's a Christmas movie that he did. Oh. And then, like, Gangrel is, like, he's the final boss at the Gingerbread Brawl. So they have a gingerbread brawl, and he plays a Viking-type wrestler. I'm going to look it up, because I'm recommending it. I don't even fucking remember the name of the movie. Gangrel doesn't have a long list of credits.
Is it? I've typed in David Heath, but will he come up as Gangrel?
If you look up Gangrel, they'll bring you to David Heath. They're like, we got you, fam.
Okay, that's fine. I was trying to be clever and type in his real name in.
I'm gonna look for the name of the movie right now.
Here we go. I realize how dark it's got in this room. Put a light on. Here he is. Catch of the day. No, it's not that.
What was he doing? Saving Christmas. Saving Christmas. He played Tucker Von Magnus.
That's a very
and if you
want to
see
name.
Gangrel at the Gingerbread Brawl, Saving Christmas. But it's different than there's a couple Saving Christmases, but that one.
Tom DiNucci directs it. Well,
know.
That's exciting.
It's got a couple other wrestlers. I think The Miz is in it, maybe?
Oh, that sounds like something Miz. Tommy Dreamer's in it. Mike Bennett's in it. Oh, wow, there's some decent folks in it. Mike and Maria Kanellis are in it. Lovely stuff. Oh, nice. Is it ostensibly a wrestling film, or is it kind of... I mean, to be honest with you, we watched Money Plane on a previous one of these.
Oh, my God. I just saw Money Plane like a week ago.
God.
It was so bad.
Frasier Crane as top baddie against Edge. Oh, I loved it.
Okay, so it's not really much of a wrestling film, to be honest. Saving Christmas
That's
is a
fine.
Lot of, like, kids using gadgets to save the day, and then it culminates in them going to this gingerbread brawl, and then sort of becomes a wrestling film in the last act for some reason. And Santa also it's got Ed Asner as Santa again, because that's just his career now.
Obviously.
Santa is in the wrestling ring as well. So, I love it too, because the match is like, They pitch it between Tucker Von Magnus and this their top babyface, and then the babyface shows up in like in video just saying like, sorry, I can't be there, I'm injured, and everyone boos him. Like, they're like, you show up even
you
though you're
suck.
Injured. Boo! Boo! We hate you. And then the movie acts like he is in the wrong for like not showing up because he's injured. It's ridiculous.
I like how angry they get for him. Through him being injured. So, this is the final showdown. This is Hulk and
everyone's
Rip.
Everyone's in formal outfits.
And
like, they're at a black tie event.
I think this is
this
another
wrestling?
Vince thing. Like, Vince, again, desperate to kind of be considered amongst the glitterati in the high society. So, painting this image of, like, how posh wrestling is. What a lovely posh night of the wrestling for dignified people.
Does he think, like, wrestling is, like, when you see, like, this is a stock plot in shows where there's, like, a gladiator episode, and then you have, like, people who pay, like, a lot of money to go to, like, illegal gladiator matches where they're forced to fight to the death? It's always, like, people with wine glasses and formal outfits.
I mean, there's a bit of, I think there's a bit of that with Vince. He's a complicated being, is Vince McMahon.
Oh, he's got knee pads. Good.
That's yeah, good. Got one must be protected in a fight to the death. You don't want your knees going out before you've killed the man. I mean, that just looks like a cumbersome outfit, I'll be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit like Big Van Vader's, like, big, like, hat and stuff, his helmet that he wears and the big shoulders.
Oh, I love it when he's got the big mastodon thing on with the elephant head and the smoke coming out of it.
Yeah, he makes, like, the smoke come out of it, yeah.
The more extra Vader is, the better. Oh, his eyebrows coming off! Well, that's awkward for everybody involved.
It's so funny, too, like, trying to make this, like, classier with all of the, like, the high society folks in the audience, but then it's just, like, a bunch of, like, high school prom tinsel in the background.
Yeah! It's just, it doesn't quite know what it... Again, it's in keeping with Vince. It doesn't quite know what it wants to be.
It would have been better if it was, like, a huge crowd and not, like, a small crowd of richer people. Like, oh, yeah, they paid extra dollars to be at this match.
I like how the title is the WWF Championship, but with a different coloured strap. So, again, it's just that... Just plenty of I mean, over-the-top plugs.
I mean, this looks about on par with an episode of GLOW, though.
It's true, actually. I loved GLOW. I'm so sad that they never picked that up again.
I did see a few episodes of, like, the original GLOW, because I enjoyed the TV show, and yeah, that was fun. There was a match where they brought out a bunch of, like, pies, and then the pies were all over the ground, and then that referee could not stay out. He's just slipping in the pies, trying to do his job, but he just... the pies were too much.
Wrestling's the best when it's bollocks. It truly is. When you accept that wrestling is bollocks, you have the best time with it. When the eye opens and you go, this is bollocks, it's brilliant. It's the best.
It's great because it's like you admire the athleticism because it takes so much work and so much trust in the people that you're working with when it goes well anyway. Like, you need to trust the people in the ring. But also, like, there's, like, the storylines, which are just patently ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then, like, when things go wrong, they really go wrong. And the things they ask you to buy, like, and that they're selling, like, can be just so crazy.
And suspending your disbelief is sometimes a chore, but we get there.
Yeah.
Look how strong Zeus is. He's lifted Hulk Hogan 16 feet off the air, off the ground.
Is Tiny Lister a convincing wrestler to you?
I mean, when he wrestled, when he had, like, two matches, they kept what he did really, really simple, which is the best thing you can do. So, like, he had one match where he came in and just walked straight up to Hogan, did all the grunting, growling, grabbed Hogan by the throat and just choked him to the ground and got disqualified. Mm-hmm. That was his whole involvement. And it was perfect. I think they did something similar in a cage match he was in where he just kept it to big punches and chokes. As long as they didn't overcomplicate what he was doing, he was fine. Like, he looks imposing. He fits in this world. Like, so hence why Vince got to the point where he booked him in actual matches and hired him as an actual wrestler. Because he fits in the world. And again, but Hogan was never the most complicated wrestler. So it was all about doing as little as you could and getting the most out of it. And I guess that's what made these two work so well together as a thing. He did loads of stuff. So go on.
I think it's kind of interesting when you see matches with people who aren't wrestlers with a real wrestler. Because, like, I'm kind of watching the wrestler themselves to see what they're doing. Because you can see them kind of doing protective moves or going easier on them or, like, what they're adjusting to make sure this person isn't hurt in this match.
Yeah.
And I find that kind of interesting, just trying to figure out how this works and piece together what they decided they're going to do.
It's a dance, and it's done when it's done right, it's beautifully done. We had a celebrity match last weekend featuring rap star Bad Bunny.
Everyone on Twitter was blown up about that. I didn't see the match, but I saw everyone like, Bad Bunny, Bad Bunny.
He was great. He just, we all just went, that was far better than it, that was actually far better than it deserved to be. Far better than it should have been.
He trained for it though, didn't he? Like, he took some time to actually train for this.
And I think that's a big thing. I think with wrestlers in general, they don't mind people coming into their world as long as they treat it with respect. There's a lot of respect built into it. I've had one wrestling match in my time. I don't wish to have more. I had one, and it was for a local promotion where I work as a wrestling manager, which is the best time.
Awesome.
Could you just go out and go, you all smell, you're all horrible, get out of my way. It's quite cathartic, actually, just to go, you're all horrible.
Being the heel is the best.
Oh,
yeah.
God. But then with that, you've got to get your comeuppance.
Right.
So, okay.
I see where this is going.
Yeah. So therefore, it got to a point where I had to get involved in a match and I had to take a move.
Did you get power slammed or?
I took the safest move. It was a code breaker. It was a Chris Jericho code breaker, which basically means I'd just duck my head down and then just bounce up in the air. And I get grabbed a couple of times, but that's the big one that I do. But I went to training just for the sake of that. I went to training because I thought, well, one, because I'd like to do it without dying or hurting anybody else.
Yeah,
and also,
especially if you're going toward your head, you want to make sure you're
safe. Yeah, and because it's a respect thing as well. Like, I'm in their world. I don't want them to think I'm disrespecting what they do. I want to come and learn how to do it well and show that I respect it.
Well, that's great, especially because, you know, you do so much content talking about wrestling. It's nice that you kind of went into that world a little bit to experience it.
I could never do it. Because I would be worried that one day I'd be in a soundstage getting garrotted.
This can't be legal in the match. Can they use weapons? Is this part of the... Surely you'd be disqualified at this point.
I think it's a yellow card. If he was to stab Hogan with a pipe, it's a yellow card. Oh, run in.
Legally, you can murder someone. It's not against the rules of the match.
It doesn't say the dog can't play basketball.
Yeah.
Why would we never think of that? What is... Now... That looks quite fun. Stay down there.
With the head. Yeah.
It's a love story.
This is like a move that like the giant or the yeti might use.
Yeah. Wrestling loves this kind of... Oh, that is grabbing near the crotch.
He's going to crush his head. Look at that. He's barely holding it.
Spin it. We're meant to now believe that broke Rip's neck. Oh, he's all right, though. He's fine. But he's seen the woman of his dreams. And that has lit a fire.
Oh, my God.
And Randy.
Oh my God. The acting.
Randy's moving.
Randy, yes.
Randy, stand up. Randy twiddled his finger.
Yes, yeah.
This is the point where you see Randy bravely stand up and Zeus just punches him into the ground. That's done. But this is the most I think I've ever seen Hogan on the back foot. I think in anything. The only other time that Hulk Hogan sold less was to Jay Leno.
That's understandable.
He gets it. It was a match with Jay. Oh my God.
He gets fell into the jiffy pot.
That is a sweaty boy there. That is a sweaty boy. And as we scream, here we go. This is the big comeback now. He doesn't Hulk up here. Because he's not Hulk, he's Rip, remember?
He's ripping up.
He rips up.
he rips a big one.
He rips.
Yeah!
Don't!
Kurt Fuller, yes!
Don't rip up!
Yes.
Stop him from ripping up!
No!
If he rips one out!
The guy with the cigar, like...
Stan Hansen from earlier on. Sophisticated now.
Yes! I love how much these people are into this.
When wrestling gets you like this, it's extreme. Turn around, bright eyes.
This acting is so good.
It's just very Hogan. Is he going to do the point?
This is 200%.
Does he do the point? He does a point in wrestling and he goes, you do the point. No, he doesn't do the point. That's sad. It's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Randy's moved a finger, so it's all good. This is...
It's a miracle.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're the best
around. I'd like to know who did... I like people who write music for these scenes in action movies, because there's a real... I'd like to know whether they enjoy their work. I'd like to think they do.
Yeah, that's got to be fun.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
There you go. And he broke the goddamn ring.
Oh,
because he's
God.
Such a beefy boy. So were you expecting this to go the way that it has? Is this as a... Did you expect Hogan to come back from this? Because I know Zeus really had him on the ropes for a while.
I don't know. I thought for sure Zeus is going to be the winner in this one, but it looks like he's making a comeback.
It seemed that way.
I feel like if they had a... he's going to burst a blood vessel. Yeah!
Fun story, that's his finishing move in Japan. There's a fun little wrestling fact.
Hogan's finishing move in Japan?
He doesn't do a leg drop. He does what's called an axe bomber, which is when he runs at them with that.
That's interesting, having a different finisher in Japan.
I guess because it saves wear and tear on his legs. Because the whole reason he stopped wrestling was because his hips gave out. from doing 300 leg drops a year. He just did his legs in. But he's...
Come on!
Oh, no! Good God! Save Randy! This is some excellent...
This is Pellegrino's finest hour.
It really is.
You think Supernatural fans watch this because they're like, I want to see what else Mark Pellegrino's done. He played the devil, you know?
And I like, the devil's in the detail with the way you lay down. This is it now. All the posh people are out of there. They don't want anything to do with this... Absolute nonsense.
He was just looking forward to Knight Rider 2010. He's like, then things are gonna like just start working out for me.
And Hogan's dead. Which would you say, again as a movie aficionado, is your favorite action movie trope? Is there one that you just love that you see in all movies of this ilk that you love?
Action movie trope. I do like jumping away from explosions.
Yeah.
I like when they get unconventional weapon and it's the big badass moment. They're gonna use the big Tommy gun or something ridiculous like that, a rocket launcher. Fight scenes that take place in kitchens.
Oh,
like that
nice.
Happens a lot, and that's very good. They had the food fight in the diner, which I feel is spiritually that. I just like when people are like, I'm going to throw a pie or a popcorn or whatever that couldn't possibly hurt anyone, but they got to sell it.
They said it's containing small pieces of iron filings in it.
Oh, this is very good. This ending of this, I love the ending of this.
He's lost his. He's so angry that. But thing, what's annoying is, and this is the madness. He wanted Rip on his network. He got it.
Yeah.
And he switched it off.
Well, he wants to kill him. It's personal now. He wants him dead. It's just exploding behind him.
Yeah. I saved the kingdom, brother.
The absolute artistry.
But sadly, none of this is being recorded now because the network, there's network difficulties.
Well, it's good because it saves Hulk from some jail time. I think if it was recorded, he'd have to answer for a lot of things.
Like what's about to happen here, which is
the
exciting climax and the comeuppance of the villain. Uh-huh. Imagine waking up and seeing that bearing down on you. You'd be...
That's what that woman had to deal with earlier.
He'd literally rather jump into the electricity than face a sweaty Hulk.
First of all, the hip twist in the electrocution was very good.
Nice.
So he murdered a man. He just murdered a man.
Oh, is that blood?
Yeah, there's blood. He's dead. He murdered him.
Yay!
Yeah!
Death!
Applause for the murder!
Look
Hooray!
At the dead bodies! Yes! Rip! Yeah. Rip! 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 Yeah. Yeah! And he's there going, oh yeah, I did win, brother!
Yeah, I just killed him!
I want him to be walking down. I want him to be sobbing. Sobbing at like the failing of the failing of man.
Why are you applauding? There's so much blood on my hands!
Call the doctor! Call an ambulance! There's
Somebody
a dead
help,
body! Dead
yeah,
body!
Yeah. Wouldn't the paint turn the stinker?
He's dead up there!
And that's how we end it.
Instead, he murders someone, they applaud, and he goes, "Yeah, brother, eat your vitamins, drink your milk."
And kill people you don't like, brother.
Kill people you don't like.
So that was No Holes Barred. Alison, honestly, this has been a deep joy to watch this nonsense with you. Honest to God.
Yeah, I had a great time.
What's coming up on your channel? What can we expect to see very soon?
Right now I'm working on some more Baywatching, and I'm getting into Baywatching Nights Season 2. That's when the Misbegotten spinoff became The X-Files for some reason. So
it gets good when aliens and nonsense and stuff. Is it a jump the shark moment, do you think, for Baywatch when it goes down that avenue?
I feel like it kind of is. I mean, they had ghosts and aliens and stuff on normal Baywatch in the past, but never to this degree. So I think, like, if you can point to a jump the shark moment, it would be this.
And if people are hearing you for the first time, I want you to use this time to plug where they can find you, where they can keep up with all that you're doing and all of that good stuff. Go for it.
All right, well, you can find me on YouTube, youtube.com/movienightstheseries, or if you look for Alison Pregler, you can also find me on Twitter under Alison Pregler.
Easy. I like how the branding is done that way. Easy to find. When we get to, we do these every month. Would you at some point like to come back and watch another stupid wrestling film with me?
Hell yeah.
Yes! That's a dream. You've said it now. It's on record. You can't deny it now. That's it. Thanks for watching No Holes Barred with us. You stay safe. You look after yourselves. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.